Alright, hi. We are the Angry Moose Nerds, formerly the Angry Moose Knuckles. I am the team captain, Tim Ertle, and our team members are Jeff Rafalski, Drew Hendrickson, and Mikey Wright. And it was just an interesting little side note here before we start. I noticed that our opponents' names happen to be testosterone, which is a steroid, which also happens to be a performance-enhancing drug. Just throwing it out there as a little interesting side note. But pretty much, our opponents are going to try to brainwash you with all the other media mumbo-jumbo, and the truth really is that there's not one experiment that links steroids to death or injury in adult men. This is coming from Dr. Norm Foss, who happens to be a graduate of Princeton, got a medical degree from Yale, and his master's from Harvard. He said the worst health risks are acne, hair loss, and bad cholesterol. Also, to further say that steroids are unhealthy and absolutely prove that wrong, is a study in the New England Journal of Medicine where the highest dosages of testosterone were given to adult men. And the results were that acne and sore boobies were the worst side effects. And other than that, no other side effects were noticeable. They may argue that steroid use is immoral. You can't argue morals because this would become the philosophic debate and all scientific arguments would be shot to hell. If you wish to argue morals, we'll take you out like fat kid in dodgeball. Alright, what we are going to prove to you is that steroids can be beneficial if used, not abused. Pretty much anything can be detrimental if abused. For example, a certain substance, when taken in excess, causes sodium levels to drop, then the substance is absorbed into the bloodstream and eventually lungs. Victim will suffer dyspnea and nausea. If not treated, leads to pulmonary edema or filling the lungs with pulmonary fluid. This substance, when taken in excess, happens to be water. Basically, it goes to show you that anything used improperly can be detrimental to your health. Our other argument by Drew is going to point at other things that aid in sports enhancing stuff. For example, Nike has produced contact lenses which block UV rays, very similar to how sunglasses work. This causes the ball to appear crisper, so it's easier to pick up the spin of the ball. So technically, this is a performance-enhancing drug. Or not drug, but performance enhancer. This gives an unfair advantage to another player. So now, where do you draw the line? Because it gives another advantage to somebody who doesn't have that advantage. So there's a gray line there. Next thing, are you going to like ban sunglasses, saying that it's performance enhancing? You can't do that, because pretty much everybody in Major League Baseball uses sunglasses. Also, there are other drugs. Bonds has been known to take a human growth hormone, and human growth hormone has thought to strengthen joints and connective tissue. So if an athlete is injured and takes this growth hormone to help healing, is that going to be a violation of the rules? It's absolutely ridiculous. You can't outlaw these certain things that are used to help healing. So basically, you can't draw the line on what's performance enhancing and should be illegal, because everything has a benefit when used properly. And finally, Jeff is going to have more everyday uses of steroids and even the economic issues. We all know that it's obvious that steroids have had a huge impact on baseball. Just look at the home run race of 98 between McGuire and Sosa to see the long ball. Even Bonds in 2001, the whole nation was watching Bonds whether he liked it or not. Basically, every stadium during the home run race was sold out, and people were just waiting for Bonds to hit the next home run and break the new record. So pretty much, you can't say that performance-enhancing drugs have been detrimental to sports, because they've done a lot of good. There's not one scientific study that shows that it leads to any kind of major health risks.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the debate on performance-enhancing drugs in sports. My name is Drew Riley, and I am the captain for Team Testosterone. First, I would like to add to Tim and say that steroids are foreign hormones injected into the body. Testosterone is not a steroid, but a male sex hormone. It can be produced as a steroid, but is not necessarily what you use as a steroid. Also, human growth hormone has never been used to heal injuries. Today, we will be debating the negative side effects of the use of performance-enhancing drugs in sports. First off, when you hear the term performance-enhancing drugs, what do you think of? Most people who do not know any better jump immediately to the conclusion of anabolic steroids as the only performance-enhancing drugs out there, when in reality, there are numerous others including, but not limited to, creatine, ephedra, arginine, stimulants, and even narcotics. My team members will be discussing three topics as to why these performance-enhancing drugs should not be legalized. First off will be Brian, who will discuss the brutal truth of how harmful these drugs are to the body. Speaking second will be Vincent, who will be telling you how these drugs not only affect the user themselves, but also the opposing player or teammate. Finally, we will have Tyler, who will inform you of the addictions that these drugs lead to. I would like, however, to give a little background on the topic at hand. The use of performance-enhancing drugs is not a new situation in the world of sports. It has just become more evident in the past few years. And in some sports, these drugs are actually legal. Take, for example, the Olympics, where the use of creatine is legal. The Romanian gymnast team is a prime example of this. After the team works out, they inject themselves with creatine and insulin, which helps with absorption of creatine. However, after doing this prior to the previous Summer Olympics, and then stopping the use during the actual games, the athletes had serious problems. Several of the athletes became diabetics because of the excessive amount of insulin in the body. A little info for you. The body's highest level of insulin is immediately after you work out. So inducing further insulin into the body suppresses and sometimes inhibits the production of natural insulin turning the user into a diabetic and insulin dependent. Not only is creatine used in professional sports, but also in the lives of teenagers around the globe, especially in the United States. Creatine does not always work on the youth, and if this happens, they go to the next step, anabolic steroids. The use of steroids is not a new thing whatsoever. It has just become more evident and apparent to the public. Athletes take anabolic steroids to increase the amount of testosterone in their body. It is true that anabolic steroids increase the size, strength, and speed of individuals depending on how they train. Those are pretty much all the positive side effects they will see from taking these drugs. With an increase in testosterone in the body, several things happen, as Brian will let you know. I'm going to elaborate a little on the topic, however. When a person takes steroids, they must also take estrogen blockers or aromatase, which are anti-estrogen substances. Athletes take these so that they do not convert their testosterone to estrogen, which is a female sex hormone, also present in males. With females, this is the same problem. The body must produce some amount of estrogen in the body. It's true that testosterone thickens the bones in the body. This does not mean that their bones are stronger, however. It has been proven that the decrease or absence of estrogen in the body leads to degenerative osteoporosis. And in some cases, the user does not have the knowledge of this and does not block the conversion of testosterone into estrogen. With this conversion, not only comes massive amounts of estrogen, but also the conversion of testosterone into dihydrogetesterone, commonly known as DHT. DHT is a form of testosterone that leads to cystic acne and will combine with large amounts of estrogen the production of tumors in the breast, known as gynecomastasis. As most of you know or think you know, the most known effect of steroids is a severe act of aggression known as roid rage. But what is roid rage? Roid rage is the imbalance of serotonin and dopamine in the brain. These chemicals are important neurotransmitters used in the brain to help regulate mood and behavior, and are directly affected by the levels of testosterone in the body. I'm not sure I would want to be competing against one of those roid rage athletes in any type of sport. There is no way of controlling this one on steroids. I think I filled you all in on what my teammates will be discussing. Now you will hear from them the more in-depth details of why performance-enhancing drugs should not be legalized in sports.
My name's Mike, and I'm going to be talking about that there's a huge difference between the use and abuse of steroids, and that when you use steroids, you have to be smart about it. You can't just shoot up and whatever and think that it's going to be okay. You have to know what you're doing. And our opponents will say that steroids will cause liver disease, heart problems, or cancer. However, that there has been absolutely no long-term studies that have been done to prove this. As Tim introduced, Norm Faust was quoted by Real Sports saying, "There is little evidence to support claims that there are life-threatening health risks." And then Real Sports also interviewed Dr. Gary Wadler. He's a professor at New York Medical University. He's one of the most outspoken people against steroids. He's gone in front of Congress and spoke about it. And when Real Sports asked him where are the bodies to prove these health risks, he replied with, "The trouble with steroid-related deaths is that there are no telltale marks that when you do an autopsy, you can say, yep, there's the signature of steroid abuse. So therefore, correlation does not lead to causation. So you can't directly associate the use of steroids to any high-level or long-term effects of steroids." So another thing, there's research done by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and they can be quoted in their research saying, the incident of life-threatening effects appears to be low. And this is our government saying this. It's not some little organization doing some research. It's one of the biggest research organizations in the United States. And nowadays it's legal for people to go to anti-aging clinics and get injections of steroids to prevent anti-aging and to prevent certain health damages that have been caused. And if there's such long-term health risks, then why would you give someone these type of injections?
All right, I'm Brian Van Leeuwen. I'm going to be doing a rebuttal real quick. There has been proven both at Stanford University and Oxford that the 17 alkyl group on all anabolic steroids leads to and causes liver failure and damage. And the anti-aging steroids are not available and are not anabolic steroids. And that even though they haven't found anything relating steroids and death with the whole realm of performance-enhancing drugs, there's an incident, which I'll talk about later, with Steve Beckler from the Baltimore Orioles, who died taking ephedra, which is also a performance-enhancing drug. So that's just one instance of death. But I'm going to go on to my argument, which is the dangers to the human body. And that one of the biggest reasons as to why performance-enhancing drugs should not be legalized in pro sports or in any level of sport is because of the many dangers these drugs use to the human body. Even though these drugs give you an advantage over those who don't use the drugs, the effects done to the human body by these enhancers can go from being minor all the way to becoming fatal. That extra bit of strength or that extra burst of speed is not worth the many aches and pains or even possible death. There hasn't been any long-term effects that are widely known by the public because the performance-enhancing phenomenon has really only been scrutinized in today's era in light of the baseball steroid scandal. Even though the long-term effects are not widely known yet, the short-term effects have been recognized and even still being found today. There are specific types of performance-enhancing drugs that athletes use. Different types of the drugs are used depending on what the specific athlete needs an edge in. It's as if they can pick out their own different talents in a magical pill. But in actuality, they are picking their own poison. Some of the drugs that have been known to be used are creatine, ephedra, androstenedione, and anabolic steroids. Steroids are the drugs that most people know about today because of all the recent scandals in baseball. Some athletes take a form of steroids known as anabolic steroids to increase their muscle mass and strength. The main anabolic steroid hormone produced by your body is testosterone. However, anabolic steroids can come with serious side effects. Side effects specific to men are prominent breasts, baldness, shrunken testicles, a higher voice, infertility, heart attacks, and liver damage, which we'll go over later. Effects specific to women are deeper voice and enlarged clitoris, increased body hair, baldness, and an increased appetite. The effects for both men and women are severe acne, liver abnormalities, and tumors, an increase in low-density lipoprotein, which is the bad cholesterol, and decreased good cholesterol, which is the high-density lipoprotein, HDL. If an injected form is used, you'll face a higher risk of infections and diseases that are transmitted by blood, such as HIV and hepatitis. And in teens, steroids can halt their normal growth, pattern of growth and development and put them at risk for future health problems. There have been some reports out there that have also suggested that the use of steroids leads to aggression, violence, and even fatal outbursts. One event that has been connected to steroid aggression, aka roid rage, is remembered by Dr. Harrison Pope, professor of psychiatry at McLean Hospital at the Harvard Medical School. The event was of a 16-year-old boy who was described as quiet and shy until he took up bodybuilding and started taking steroids at the age of 14. He began to be more aggressive, and after finding out his 14-year-old girlfriend spent a night with another girl and two boys, He lured her to the woods and stabbed her in the back and cut her throat. Brutal story, but that's what happened. There's also another example of aggression that Storrs brings with former Mr. Universe, Bertil Fox. On May 22, 1998, bodybuilder Bertil Fox was convicted of murdering his former fiancée and her mother on the tiny Caribbean island of St. Kitts. The murders were widely connected with his steroid usage and his roid rages. Another type of drug is Andro. Manufacturers of synthetic Andro, through vigorous marketing efforts, have claimed that their products increase your body's production of testosterone. According to proponents of Andro supplements, an elevated level of testosterone allows athletes to train harder and recover more quickly. Scientific studies that refute these claims are now emerging. In fact, these studies show that supplemental Andro doesn't increase the testosterone and that your muscles don't get stronger with Andro use. Side effects of Andro differ for men and women, but they are basically the same as steroid use, which they also decrease good cholesterol and increase LDL, which leads to heterochlorosis, which increases heart attacks, clogs arteries. Creatine monohydrate is a compound produced by your body that helps release energy in your muscles. Creatine is supposed to enhance performance and decrease fatigue, but there's no evidence that creatine enhances performance in aerobic or endurance sports. Possible side effects of creatine that decrease athletic performance include stomach cramps, muscle cramps, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. And there's a long-term effects of creatine are not widely known. However, there's a very dangerous effect that occurs when the body takes in creatine. According to Dr. Edward Wojcicki of the University of Michigan Medical School, when creatine is processed by the body, it forms formaldehyde, a very toxic substance. It can damage everything from artery walls to muscle. So even though the long-term effects aren't widely known yet, something tells me that formaldehyde involved, it can't be good. Some deaths have been associated with the use of performance-enhancing drugs, like I alluded to earlier. In 2003, Steve Beckler, a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles, died after a spring training workout. He had complained of dizziness throughout the day. After an autopsy was performed, it was determined that Beckler had ephedra in his system and likely contributed greatly to his death. Trying to help his performance, Beckler likely took 3 ephedra pills on an empty stomach the day he collapsed, according to the coroner, and along with other medical issues and the heat, converged in a catastrophic event. Sales were banned at military bases worldwide after 2 dozen soldiers died while taking ephedra. And the week before Beckler's death, the death of a college student in Suffolk County, New York, contributed to the vote of the ban on ephedra in 2003. This is the unfortunate reality of performance-enhancing drugs. These side effects can all be prevented. These deaths can be prevented. Performance-enhancing drugs are nothing but quick fixes, and these drugs should not be legalized.
Okay, first off, basically the entire argument was correlation leads to causation, and you can't say that. Just because someone took steroids doesn't mean they're going to go all crazy and kill their sisters, brothers-in-law, or whatever. Did any of these people have, like, psych evaluations? If not, you're just implying that the steroids were the cause of the killing. And you said that the Baltimore Orioles player died because of ephedra. When he used it, he was taking it to lose weight for camp. And you said he took it on empty stomach. That's improper use of ephedra, so of course something's going to happen when you don't use the drug right. And you even said in your argument that there are no tests that have been able, long-term tests that have been able to prove that there are actual life, like health risks, like high health risk and stuff. So you're admitting that you have no backing evidence to prove all that. That's it.
I'm Drew Henderson from Team Angry Moose Knuckles, and and like our opponents brought up, drugs have been around for a long time and they're nothing new. And the fact is they're not going away anytime soon. And current drug tests can only catch the lowest branches of athletes that are using. And many drugs are created to mask these drugs. In fact, the Balco story that we all know so much about was only broken when Olympic track and field coach of the year, Trevor Graham, gave authorities a used syringe of THC, which is a newly developed performance anti-drug, and told them to look for it. The fact is, these illegal drug creators have greater incentive and financial backing to hide their drugs, and they're always one step up on the testers. Dr. Charles Yassalis, a Penn State University epidemiologist and one of the world's leading experts on drug and sports, has been quoted to say, "With every loophole that closes up, another one opens." When it comes to juicing, the cat and mouse game between testers and cheaters is like Tom and Jerry, the rodent is usually going to win. The fact is that when drugs are legalized, those same ingenious techniques that are used to mask the drug's presence can be used to make the drugs a little bit safer and lower the potential side effects. The trickle-down effect of this is that these drugs will go down, that are designed with athletes in mind, will help the general public because they're going to be designed to help them perform, and then as a side effect from those, more new drugs will be created that can help patients that are dying of AIDS and with muscular dystrophy. Also, like Mike talked about, under doctor supervision, drugs can be administered properly. Who do you want your drugs being given to you by? A health professional with a degree or a Gold's Gym employee? Also, the banned list for drugs is almost a mile long. The fact is that there's many enhancing drugs and procedures that are available that are just as effective in enhancing performance as those same banned substances. One such thing is the cortisone shot. Cortisone is a hormone produced in the adrenal gland. It's injected to a specific area to reduce pain and by reducing inflammation. And it's also used to treat arthritis. This is classified as a steroid. And how this works is it blocks the effect of an enzyme called cyclooxygenase. This enzyme is critical in your body's production of prostaglandins. It is also these that cause swelling and pain. So by inhibiting this enzyme, the pain is in turn reduced. Also, painkillers are used on a daily basis by many athletes. When the body feels pain, the body releases glutamate, or in the case of more severe pain, substance P. Many of these drugs affect the periaqueductal gray area, which blocks the production of substance P and in turn reducing pain. Also, the widely used Icy Hot is a substance used to treat sore muscles in areas, loosening them up to allow for better range of movement and less pain. Our body has a special heat receptor that responds to heat above 43 degrees centigrade. Capsaicin, which is present in Icy Hot, stimulates these receptors and causes our neurons to quickly release substance P. Capsaicin also, however, leaves you temporarily insensitive to pain since the neurons are depleted of substance P. This allows the athlete to have more range of movement and not feel pain. Also, LASIK surgery. This is also known as laser eye surgery. It's going to improve your vision to 20/15. This is performed using an excimer laser, which is a gas laser which produces short pulses of ultraviolet light to help reshape the cornea. They can help reshape the cornea to help the light focus on the retina, so even if you have far-sighted vision or near-sighted vision, the cornea can be reshaped to allow that focus to be on the back of the retina where it's supposed to be. One noted athlete who has used LASIK surgery is Tiger Woods, and it's worked out all right for him. Tommy John surgery is another procedure that can also enhance performance. It's a surgery performed when the ulnar collateral ligament located on the medial side of the elbow is damaged and needs to be replaced with a tendon or ligament, usually from the forearm, foot, or hamstring. Surgery used to have a very low success rate and was not used very often, but now successful surgery is up to 90%, which is leading to more and more procedures. It is known fact that pitchers who receive the surgery throw 7 to 9 miles per hour harder upon their recovery. Some noted pitchers who have received this operation are former Cy Young Award winners, the award given to the best pitcher in each respective league in Major League Baseball, Eric Gagne, Mariano Rivera, and John Smoltz. Also, even something as simple as migraine medication can be performance enhancing. There are abortive medications that are used at the onset of migraines, such as Ketorolac, and preventative medications such as NSAID, which are taken daily to help the brain promote the neurotransmitters that prevent pain and the constriction of hyperactive blood vessels in the brain. A couple stories could be Curt Schilling, who pitched in the 2004 World Series game. Both tendons had to be reattached with sutures. There's no way he would have been able to perform without painkillers and cortisone shots. Fact is, he's regarded as a hero for taking these drugs and steroids, but while other people like Barry Bonds, who hasn't been proven anything, is shunned. Terrell Davis also, in the 1998 Super Bowl, had to be taken out of the game because he had a migraine. He also, at halftime, he took migraine medication and was able to complete the game. Without this drug, his performance would not have been enhanced. He would not have been able to complete the game. So once again, his performance was enhanced. And The fact is that there's plenty of drugs. This is just a short list of drugs that are available that can help a person enhance their performance. So if these are all available to certain people with certain circumstances, then why shouldn't the other ones be?
Doing the rebuttal for that, and everything you mentioned, my name's Vince. Sorry about that. All right. If anything, the effects of taking these drugs has increased due to the fact that the quantity has increased, purity has increased. All right, and health. Okay, the health profession is different. It's different for for sports athletes. Of course, we all know that. And also you mentioned cortisol. Cortisol is not an anabolic steroid. It's not a performance-enhancing drug. Okay, and you also mentioned that pitchers, through rehab, they threw faster. And that's mainly because their adhesions have been reattached. So, that's why.
We're going to take a 30-second rebuttal. And you said cortisone isn't a steroid, and we're not saying it is or isn't an anabolic steroid, but it still is a steroid, and it still is performance-enhancing. The fact is, without these inflammation, these players would not be able to play, and thus their performance is enhanced. And you talk about the readhesion of the end thing. The fact is, before their injury, they throw a certain amount, and then after the injury, they throw an extra 70 miles per hour. So that's my 30-second.
All right, we're going to also 30 seconds out of that. People take cortisol. Like you said, it is a steroid, but we're saying it's not anabolic, so we're getting that straightened out. Also, people take cortisol actually end up shortening their careers because they end up doing more damage to the ligaments and tendons that they're injecting into, along with their muscles, because you cannot feel the pain. So if you say you have a player that goes out there and has a dislocation and you give him a shot of cortisol, okay, he's good to go. But then what? He goes in there, he can't feel it. He's going to do more damage to that joint or that muscle or that bone or whatever just because he cannot feel it.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to present my second argument. And basically what I'm going to be talking about is we already know the physical effects that it has on the user, but now I'm going to be talking about people around the user, all right? So physical and psychological effects of anabolic androgenic steroids have on an athlete are severe, and it hurts people all around them, from the opponents on the field and the sport that they are in to the family members that they love and care about. It comes to a point where they are hurting their loved ones and may not even know about it. We should not legalize performance-enhancing drugs because the harmful ripple effect that it has on people around the user is just as severe. Alright. Anabolic steroids is a performance-enhancing drug that helps develop players' muscles. This was already explained in great detail by my teammates. Have you ever thought about the other person on the other end of the team who has to face one of these athletes who is on this drug just to have a competitive edge? It's not easy to see that when you increase the mass of your muscle, or it is easy to see that when you increase the mass of your muscles and your acceleration, you will produce a lot more force. All you have to do is look at that famous force equation where force equals mass times acceleration. When you increase the mass acceleration of anything, the amount of force intensifies. I mean, let's look at some examples where this debate is taking on heat, all right? So baseball, softball comes to mind. Yes, we all know that batters hit more home runs, and, you know, that's pretty cool to see. And so there's no harm, right? But, you know, just like what you mentioned, pitchers, right? So if the pitchers see the batters taking the juice just to gain edge, just to gain an edge, they will also use steroids to try and outperform them. I mean, how would you like the velocity of a fastball coming at you at 90 miles per hour suddenly turn to 100 miles per hour? All right, sure, I know there's been pitchers like that. You know, the great pitchers, they pitched well above 100 miles per hour. But what happens to some of the psychological effects that steroids have starts to kick in and they start to snap? They'll be more aggressive, and it wouldn't take a whole lot for a ball to hit a batter and seriously injure the person. Okay, now let's think about football. Imagine a football player anabolic steroids. He'll have bigger muscles, and, you know, he'll just be like, you know, the pretty much the kick-ass, you know, football player that we all want to see. But now let me talk about a specific story about Bill Romanowski. Okay, he was a respected 16-year-old football vet who 16-year football vet that who ended his career on a very sour note. He admitted to using steroids and other human growth hormones to gain an edge on the playing field in an interview with 60 Minutes, like last year in 2005. He admits that he did not get the results he wanted when he was on the drugs. He was more aggressive, but it took a toll on him and the people around him. He not only directed his aggressiveness towards the opposing team during game time, but also to his teammates. He ended his career and agreed to pay $415,000 in damage to fellow teammate Marcus Williams for hitting him on the face in a practice drill that broke his eye socket and ended his career. Okay, now Romanowski admits he made a poor choice and he is sorry for what he has done. He also said that steroids was a leading factor in his intense behavior. He admitted it. So, yeah. Now the use of steroids can lead to a person's whole personality changing. I'm sure you're probably saying, like, just like what you guys have been mentioning, you know, words of proof. There's no scientific research behind all of these allegations. Okay, a study conducted by the National Skeletal Muscle Research Center, NSMRC, at UCSD, found that a number of behavioral changes are associated with steroid use. Irritability, increased aggressiveness, nervous tension accompany the euphoria and reduction in fatigue noted by up to 80% of steroid users. The users' testosterone levels are at amazing high levels, so high that they become a danger to themselves and others. Users of steroids have been known to pick fights for no reason, attack family members, and to some extreme, kill people. With the roid rage, change in moods, depression, and psychosis, users are mentally unstable. These are the side effects that should concern people the most because this no longer just involves the user, but also the people around them. Okay, now here's another study conducted at the University of Massachusetts. This research was conducted by Costanza Villaiba and Catherine Auger. Catherine Auger is now a respected postdoctoral researcher at the Johns Hopkins University. In their research, they found that it affects the brain by changing the levels of neurotransmitters and consequently stimulating the libido and aggression in our brain. They explained that steroids such as Andro not only produces muscle mass, but it affects neurotransmitters in the brain called vasopressin. Vasopressin plays a major role in our brain. It controls pretty much our thirst, our wake-sleep cycles, and most importantly, our aggression. They focused their research on this particular neurotransmitter and concluded that Andro helps the body maintain very high levels of vasopressin to the point where the body stops producing its own neurotransmitters. Okay, this will lead straight back to roid rage, and I know you mentioned that, like, you know, with roid rage can't really put, like, it's not really defined, it's like in a gray area. Okay, but Dr. Shanlinder Bossin, an endocrinologist in Charles Drew University in Los Angeles, state that on one hand, roid rage appears to be rare, but on the other hand, it only takes one burst to cause very big problems. And I mean, the examples are all over the place. Like, there was a report of a user who damaged three cars with his fist and a metal bat because he was upset with a traffic delay. Another was arrested and fined $1,000 for damages at a sporting event. And some users were kicked out of their homes by parents, wives, and girlfriends because they become intolerably aggressive. So that just, you know, adds up to more of the harmful effects. And what we also have to think about is the younger generation, like children, teens, that look up to these stars, and you know, like sports athletes have an image to uphold. They are looked at by the whole world and become idols to kids from country to country. When you legalize this performance-enhancing drug for athletes, children will look at this and think to themselves that they are not bad. They are not bad, so, you know, we should be able to take it as well. So, to end this, there are just two... Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to go over a couple things. First, Drew's rebuttal that cortisol affects the athlete and shortens their career. This is a personal choice by the athlete. If he's playing in the Super Bowl and he wants to take a cortisol shot so he can finish the game, that's his choice if it shortens his career. The fact is, it's enhancing his performance. Also, by cycling the drugs like testosterone, it doesn't remain in your system that long, and so there's no psychiatric effect. And also, you can't prove any psychological effect unless you have large case studies, which there have been none. And most of these studies you mentioned have notoriously small sample studies and have unlimited confounding variables, which pretty much mock everything in there. Also, you make a lot of these things are personal choices, like smoking. Are you going to require that every athlete stop smoking? Also, in your discussion about roid rage, alcohol. There's a lot of angry alcoholics out there who get in fights. More people end up in jail after alcoholic brawls, and I'm sure do roid rage, but alcohol is not being banned. And Bill Romanowski, he mentioned he's not a scientist, so I'd like to know how he's describing his symptoms and not a health professional. And we don't know what off-the-field issues he may have had. And then you also argue about an unlevel playing field. The playing field is also already very uneven, and so that doesn't make sense. And then you decided to bring up a moral argument, which I'll get into now, about athletes and role models. And why is it necessary to have this burden on athletes to be special role models, but not actors, actresses, and musicians? These athletes are old enough. These athletes can smoke, patronize a strip club, vote, drive a car. It does not mean these activities should be performed by minors. And what's worse, some big beefy athletes or the countless numbers of extremely thin supermodels that are driving teenage girls to eating disorders and their nearest plastic surgeon.
Zinger!
Alright, I'm Jeff. The facts regarding performance-enhancing drugs are clear. Consider steroids, as they are perhaps the number one performance-enhancing drug and the monotonous topic of choice for our opponent. To begin, I'll prove that Captain Drew Riley and Team Testosterone are blatantly incorrect in their definition that testosterone is not a steroid. By definition and chemical makeup, steroids are biologically active compounds derived from cholesterol. They contain 17 carbon atoms arranged in 4 rings, 1 cyclopentane ring and 3 cyclohexane rings. Examples include testosterone as well as birth control. If the idea is that steroids should be banned, then they should be banned across the board, or else a complete makeover of restricted drugs and economic waste are at hand. As it stands, steroids themselves are banned in sports. Do you really mean to argue that female athletes should be denied the right to use birth control simply because it is a steroid? This represents a complete disregard for your team's entire argument, as there's no scientific evidence that birth control enhances performance in any way, even though it is in fact a steroid. If you intend to argue that performance-enhancing drugs and steroids should not be used because they are bad for your health, or because they may or may not be carcinogenic, then perhaps you should dig a bit deeper into the science of carcinogens. Consider the compound benzopyrene, commonly found on charcoal broiled steaks or exuding from asphalt streets on a hot summer day. Many of us eat grilled steaks, and I'd venture a guess that all of us drive on asphalt streets, considering they surround the school we all attend. That compound benzopyrene that comes from these asphalt streets is severely carcinogenic. So carcinogenic, in fact, that one can induce skin cancer in mice with near total certainty by simply shaving an area of the body and applying benzopyrene. Should we then seek to free ourselves of steroid steaks and paved streets alike because they all run the possibility of causing cancer? To continue, Team Testosterone seems to be confused when it comes to the use of performance-enhancing drugs and their side effects. There are a whopping 0 studies that link steroids to death or injury. From HBO Real Sports, we turn to case study number 1. John Romano. John is a 44-year-old healthy adult male. John has been taking steroids for 22 years, cycling them on and off with absolutely no health complications. The emphasis? Use, not abuse. Case study number 2. Mr. Bob Clapp. Bob Clapp is a 70-year-old healthy adult male that has been using steroids for 40-plus years with zero health problems. Bob gets his steroids from an anti-aging clinic that prescribes testosterone to its clients. Recall that testosterone is a quote-unquote dangerous steroid, as discussed previously. Yet Mr. Clapp has been using the life-threatening agent 40-plus years without complication. Bob Clapp has also dealt steroids to some 2,500-plus clients, none of which have had health complications. Now to a bit of economics and the weight drug testing puts on today's sports world. Performance-enhancing drug testing is extremely costly, and many performance enhancers, such as growth hormone, cannot be detected through today's testing. Steroid testing alone costs an upwards of $280 per test. This does not include the salary or travel expenses of the drug administrator. The drug should be permitted, as drug testing fails to identify many users due to clever dosing regimens, known adultering mechanisms, and a less than total commitment to drug detection. I do not intend to state that testing is entirely useless, just mostly useless. It is in fact possible to catch careful users as well as careless ones. But a system that regularly busts the smartest, most sophisticated drug users would be akin to enforcing the speed limit by having police cars stationed at each and every intersection. Obviously, this is extremely costly, invasive, and ridiculously unreasonable. The money wasted in testing could be put to much wider use. For example, it could be used to educate players and young people about proper performance-enhancing drug use, or towards safer legal production of performance-enhancing drugs. With the fact that drugs are not going away, drug creators are always ahead of the curve, providing athletes with drugs that are undetectable, and other athletes can creatively use these approved drugs to enhance performance. As ESPN columnist Patrick Ruby states, we enhance ourselves on a daily basis for performance, for fun, or for pure vanity, just because we can. It's the American way. If I wanted to be in shape today, I should have been in shape yesterday. If one is good, 10 will be better.
My name is Tyler, and I'll be doing the rebuttal. You brought up birth control as a steroid. That is true. Birth control may have steroids in it, but the topic here is not steroids themselves, but anabolic steroids, which enhance performance. Also, I don't know what charcoal and street pavement has to do with performance-enhancing drugs, and I don't believe that we argued anything about steroids causing cancer, but what else? The steroids that you mentioned that John used for his asthma, they're not performance enhancing, they're simply for his asthma, and they're not anabolic steroids. And I will be doing the last argument for our team.
Where are you going to use a 30-second rebuttal?
First of all, did you miss the topic of the debate? Because it's not about anabolic steroids, it's about performance-enhancing drugs. Second of all, I never mentioned asthma. You can go back and check the tapes. Good try, though.
You said that, I'm going to rebut that, take another 30-second rebuttal. You said that John Urbano has been using steroids on and off for several years now. The steroids that he takes are for his asthma. They're not performance-enhancing or anabolic.
I never said asthma.
Well, we're telling you that they're asthmatic drugs.
Do you know the case study?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Was he not a bodybuilder that performed in competition?
No, but you've been saying
that... He began using steroids in the 1960s for competition to increase muscle mass, not for his asthma.
He's been taking them for the past years, though, for his asthma.
What about the 35 years before that? Yeah,
you're wrong.
Okay, also, growth hormone can be detected by the facts.
Seconds over.
You were interrupting me.
Your 30 seconds is done?
No. Growth hormone can be detected by the fact that it contains that 17 alkyl group. You know, the one that's most detrimental to the body.
Time's up.
All right, I will be doing the third argument for Team Testosterone. My name's Tyler. The use of performance-enhancing drugs or anabolic steroids in professional sports cannot be used. As Brian mentioned before, the physiological effects of steroids can be extremely harmful to its users. However, this is not the only thing dangerous about the drug. Several studies show that the use of steroids is often associated with the use of other substances. Studies indicate that side effects and the steroid subculture put the user at risk for developing addictions to these other drugs. These substances include, but are not limited to, opioids, methamphetamines, GHB, and THC. Furthermore, steroids have been recently referred to as a gateway drug to opioids. In a study performed at the Department of Forensic Toxicology in Stockholm, Sweden, several pathologists screened autopsy subjects whose manner of death was determined to be unnatural, meaning that these subjects did not die from old age, and all the subjects were under 40 years old. These subjects were screened for various substances, including steroids, opioids, methamphetamines, GHB, THC, and other pharmaceutical agents. The screenings for steroids were assayed in urine using gas chromatography, otherwise known as the GSMS technique. Of these subjects that tested positive for anabolic steroids, 60% also tested positive for other illicit substances. Of the steroid users that tested positive for additional illicit drugs, 45% were found to be using opioids, 33% amphetamines, and 6% GHB and THC. Furthermore, over a third of these subjects were found to have more than one of these narcotics present in their blood during the time of the autopsy. The study also found that in addition to steroid users that tested positive for narcotics, an additional 19% were found to have alcohol and or benzodiazepine in their blood during the time of the autopsy. The study also screened for other pharmaceutical agents. They found that 10% of the steroid plus narcotics positive subjects were also taking antidepressants. Furthermore, pharmaceutical agents were also found in the subjects who tested positive for steroids but negative for narcotics. 10% of those people tested positive for antidepressants. Another study published in the New England Medical Journal reports anabolic steroids as a gateway drug to opioids. The study was done at the Sunrise House, a substance dependence rehabilitation center in New Jersey. They found that out of 227 admitted abusers of heroin or other opioids, 9% of them reported using steroids before any other substance. These subjects were then interviewed about their drug history. They found that 67% of these gateway steroid users started using opioids to relieve the depression associated with the withdrawal of steroids. Also, 86% of these men said that they first used opioids to counteract insomnia and irritability caused by the use of steroids. However, side effects of anabolic steroids are not the only thing that put the user at risk to addiction to opioids. The study also strongly suggests that the steroid subculture is responsible. They found that 81% of the addicts first purchased their opioids from the same drug dealer that sold them steroids. Furthermore, 61% of them claim they were first introduced to opioids by a fellow bodybuilder or athlete. These findings illustrate that the use of steroids present a much larger problem than just its direct physiological effects. The connection between steroid use and gateway drug cannot be ignored because of its danger presents to society and the individual. Once anabolic steroid users have developed addictions to these other substances such as opioids, the side effects of steroids are nothing compared to the risk of being addicted to these other drugs such as heroin or morphine. Opioids are some of the most potent and addictive drugs available today. The users are immediately chemically and physically addicted to the effects, and if addiction continues without intervention, it will ultimately lead to severe health problems or, in many cases, death.
We're going to use both our 2 1-minute timeouts.
For like 15 seconds. You guys are taking both your timeouts?
Yeah.
I see you guys have still a little bit left.
Okay.
Alright, the overall idea here is that causation does not equal correlation. Your argument steroids often cause users to use other drugs. I mean, what does that mean? Are we arguing whether performance-enhancing drugs should be used in sports or about gateway drugs? Performance-enhancing drugs is the topic of this debate, not gateway drugs. Second of all, where did opiates come into this? They're not performance-enhancing drugs. Athletes aren't going to use opiates to enhance their performance because they're laying around all day in an opium den. You know? Stick to the debate. That's all.
Basically, my day bringing back to this debate is that our topic has been whether or not performance-enhancing drugs should be allowed in sports. And our opponents have brought up many cases, but the only one that I can remember that actually involves athletes is the the gymnasts who have taken insulin. Other than that, I have heard no real compelling evidence to conclude that any of the side effects of performance-enhancing drugs are life-threatening or to give reason that they shouldn't be used in sports. We do not endorse, actually, improper usage of steroids or any other performance-enhancing drugs. We endorse proper usage of steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. This means cycling through a proper doctor or somebody who knows what they're doing. Of course, if a little 14-year-old out on the streets is doing steroids, he might have a little bit of complications, but he's also a child. He's not an adult male who's competing in athletics. So that's our main point. With proper usage, steroids can be very beneficial to athletics and should be used in sports.
Conclusion. All right, Sam, thank you for that. There is very little scientific fact to back up your argument that performance-enhancing drugs are good for any individual. You've heard from my teammates, and I even cited work from medical doctors that performance-enhancing drugs are not the way to go. Also, what are painkillers? Opiates, right? Even you said that painkillers are considered performance-enhancing drugs. Let me revise to you what we've proven to you so far. Brian has listed off several medical conditions that occur when taking steroids, creatine, and ephedra. Vincent has informed you of the outcome and effect it would have on athletes while performing, and Tyler has let you know the dangers of how taking performance-enhancing drugs is a gateway to other more harmful drugs. I would also like to reiterate the point that some athletes who are taking these performance-enhancing drugs ended up not able to compete in their sport because they died. And not only that, there have been instances in which users of these drugs have abused and even killed other individuals to do both their size, strength, and rage. The rage has been proven to be caused by the levels of serotonin and dopamine in the brain, which is a direct cause of increase in testosterone, which, as you guys said, a steroid. I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we keep performance-enhancing drugs illegal in sports now and forever. If they are made to be legal, there's no telling what else is next. The effect of these drugs on the physiological and psychological aspect of the athletes is completely detrimental. I personally feel that if these drugs were to be made legal, that the sports that we watch would no longer be a game of skill as they're intended to be, but a game of who possesses the better drugs.
That's it. We have an audience with us today.
Yay, go Ashley!
All right, well, to be honest, I have just one main question. What the hell are you arguing about? Is it about anabolic steroids? Is it about just all steroids? Is it about performance enhancement in general?
That's what the debate says.
Then how is laser eye surgery
drugs? I said it was a procedure. I never said it was a drug.
What about sunglasses? You guys brought up
okay, the thing with this is, where do you draw the line on what should be allowed in performance enhancement and what shouldn't? Because how is in any way sunglasses?
Well, but what exactly is the argument? That's what I'm confused
about. The argument
about.
Is you can't draw a line between something that enhances somebody's like eye-hand coordination and something that actually like clarifies a ball or like makes something pop out more.
A player is a professional before he uses anabolic steroids. Steroids don't make you hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. You have to be able to hit the fastball in the first place. If you use steroids, you're just going to hit it further. But if you take an average person off the street and you give them steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, they're not going to be able to just automatically hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball just because they're using performance-enhancing drugs. It's not a magic potion, you know? That's all I got.
That was nice. Drew brought her in. She's trying to attack our argument. It was very stealthy.
Do you guys have
no, any I'm seriously. Really
all right, it's over. Done.
Both of you guys.
It's stealthy.